The House by Christopher Lee, featuring Julian Glover as Sir Charles Bannister and Peter Kelly as Dougal Baxter.
How much is that?
4.60.
There you are. Keep the change.
Oh, thanks very much. Cheers.
Bye.
Last of the big spenders. You're in a very generous mood this morning, Charles.
Of course I am. Playing truant brings out the best in me. Now, where is she?
I told her, here.
Told? I didn't think Polly was much good at being told.
Don't you believe it. She still needs a label on her collar and her gloves on string through her sleeves.
There she is. Polly!
Polly! What has she got? Harrods must be closing down.
I hope American Express isn't.
Hi. You told me round the side.
Don't be ridiculous, darling. Your father's never used a side entrance in his life.
That's what he tells you.
What on earth have you been buying?
Things.
It's what one used to call a bottom drawer.
More like a cellar, if you ask me. Anyway, come on. You promised me coffee, and then I've got to get to the house.
Guess who I've just seen?
Yes, let me have one of those.
Well, I can manage. I'm not an invalid, you know.
I know. I saw her when we arrived. Isn't she looking thin?
No, Mummy, not her.
Who are we talking about?
HRH's friend.
No, Uncle Hen. He was working.
How do you know?
Uncle Hen, wandering about the tie department, talking out of the corner of his mouth to an American, is working.
Mm. Henry doesn't talk out of that corner of his mouth. His chins won't let him.
How do you know he was an American? Mind! Blasted hooligan.
I know that face.
Yes. And she is looking thin.
I said...
An American? Well, of course he was. Slightly overweight, single-breasted blazer, brown slip-ons, size 10, button-down shirt, pretend college tie. Any bets, anyone? CIA badges on his cufflinks? Seriously.
She's probably right. Poor old Henry's been working overtime since that fellow was arrested in Washington.
I thought he was working for the Russians, not us.
Come on. Well, Henry says the blighter may have given secrets away about us.
Well, I hope he did. I thought all that sort of stuff was supposed to be over. Wasn't the wall supposed to have come down? Or didn't they tell Uncle Hen?
Probably thought it was a trick.
Well, you never know what might happen in the future.
If Henry has anything his way, it'll get worse. He works on the principle that although you can't know the future, you can believe it.
Mm. Thank you, waiter. Mm-hmm. Just leave it. That will be fine.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, indeed. Aha. Chocolate ones. Mmm, extremely good.
Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, my dear Eric, how wonderful to see you.
So it sounds.
Allow me to help.
Why?
So many purchases.
Sit down, will you?
Yes, of course.
Of course what?
Coffee? I took the liberty of ordering and biscuit. Chocolate biscuit.
Just coffee, please. Black. No sugar.
Here we are.
Why?
What?
Why?
You mean, why are we here?
Look, Henry, if this is your idea for a first-year philosophy lecture, can we just get on with it? You're going to have to do better than that.
Yeah, very well. I need your help.
You need my help? I'm a lawyer, not a spook.
Well,
what?
You were a lawyer. I'm told you resigned your chambers on Friday.
How the hell do you know that? Oh, I get it. Brothers-in-law.
Charles? As a matter of fact, no. Let us say it came to my notice.
I've got a better idea. Let us say exactly how you found out.
Now, my dear.
And don't treat me like a prat.
A what?
You heard. Come on, what's going on?
Why so aggressive? There is absolutely no need to be. Look, have a chocolate biscuit.
My God, what is this? A nursing home? For the past 6 months, you have pried and made it your business to intrude in mine. Now you treat me as if I'm a cantankerous gran.
Nothing whatsoever is to be gained by this belligerent manner.
It makes me feel better. But I suppose that doesn't count.
In the circumstances, no, it does not.
I believe in speaking my mind.
Then let me be equally blunt. You have had an arrangement with a person for whom the state has high regard. That person is made vulnerable because of that tryst.
Tryst? Is that what you call it?
The arrangement, if you like.
Why don't you say affair?
The arrangement, if discovered by persons on ill will, could lead to blackmail.
Rubbish! Anyway, it's all over, as you damn well know. And no one knew a thing about it. No one.
We did.
I'm talking about the press.
And I about more sinister folk. There are those who would use that knowledge not to offer nor to gain a few miserable pounds, but to blackmail.
Spies! Don't make me laugh.
I fear no one has been able to do that for some considerable time.
Okay. What do you want?
Such a suspicious mind.
I wonder why.
I want nothing, nothing at all. I come in peace, so much so, dear Alex, that I would like to offer you employment.
What time is Mr. Baxter in for?
2 minutes. 12. Wanted lunch. I told him you were booked. Oh, these as well, if you don't mind. Just initials will do. He seemed a bit steamed up.
Good old Dougal. In good form, as usual.
Oh, isn't he just? You'd think he was 7-4 on in the 2:30 at Cheltenham instead of top for questions today.
There you are. All done. Did he say what it was about?
Oh, thanks. Oh, to me? Oh, you're joking. He doesn't even say good morning in case I hold him to it.
Come on, Rose. He's not that bad.
Oh, I don't mind. It's quite funny, really. You should have heard him. Spent 10 minutes telling me how busy he was.
He likes to be appreciated.
Oh, he's certainly that. If you don't mind my saying so, there was plenty around here who didn't expect him to be back in Cabinet.
Except one.
Yes, I suppose self-confidence was always his strong point. And, Miss Bennett? She's done all right for herself, hasn't she?
It was only natural that she should go with him to the department.
Private secretary? Put a lot of noses out, that has.
Then perhaps he's done some good.
The PUS wasn't pleased. I heard it was even mentioned to the cabinet secretary.
Even better. If the PUS and Sir George haven't anything better to do than worry about a minister's private office, then I'd say all's right for the world, wouldn't you?
Suppose so.
Ah, there you are, Charles.
Yes, Dougal, here I am. This is my office, remember?
What?
Have you finished with the media scan?
Have I what?
Not you, Dougal. The press reports.
Oh, I have not seen them this morning.
I'd have thought Miss Bennett would have had them marked up and on your desk first thing.
Of course. But I'm so busy.
Oh,
you know that
on the other hand, maybe the department wasn't mentioned.
I beg your pardon.
Go on, off with you, Rose. Will you book a table? 1 o'clock.
Will do. Car at 2:30?
No, I'll walk back.
That woman.
You shouldn't let her wind you up. You know she does.
Actually, she's quite right. Kay should have media scan on my desk first thing. I mean, normally I've read all the papers by 7 while I listen to the Today program.
Come on, old man. It's me you're talking to, not number 10. Sit down.
Gin? No, thanks. I have a new rule. Not before 6 and not after 9:30.
What brought this on?
I'm out of training. All these committees, orders and the boxes. There never used to be so many of them.
I think there were. Mind you, all this stuff on law and order will have you up all night if you let it.
But it's not just that, Charles. It's that flaming private office. Anyone would think I'm a junior minister in charge of dinner money and playground duty.
They're testing you. They always do. Part of the civil service inbuilt arrogance. You can handle them.
I can. But I'm not sure Kay can. They resent her, you know. That simpering stoat of a Nancy boy who passes himself off as the PUS had the gall to tell me it was all irregular. But who the hell's he to tell me? Me about irregularities?
Steady on, Dougal. Permanent secretaries are on your side, don't forget. Maybe it was a little too much to expect they'd accept Kay immediately. After all, a private secretary to a minister, especially an S of S, is a prime job, an important rung on the promotion ladder.
They want to discredit her. So they're putting flaming papers in my boxes in wrong orders of priority. All the codes are missing, you know. S of S to C, that sort of thing.
Very difficult.
Well, that, Charles, is the understatement of the year. You know what happens, of course.
The PUS comes in at 8 a.m. and asks for your opinion and instructions on a paper you never got round to reading the night before. We've all experienced.
After a late division, a long don't worry session with the Chief Whip, and bed at 3 a.m.
And home by 5.
What?
Nothing, Dougal, nothing. Have you had a word with your PUS?
Oh, certainly not. That would prove him right.
You mean he's not up to it?
Of course he's not. Well, not yet. Being a PA is one thing. This is quite another.
So why keep her?
Okay. Because I trust her, Charles. That's why.
Ah, Hicks.
extraordinarily good bit of fish, dear heart.
Quite recent, I expect.
Shabbily good.
Not too cold?
No. End to an almost perfect day, really.
It's only 2:15.
Hmm? Yeah, so it is. But not much of an afternoon to come. Thought I'd look in at Lord's.
All right, for some.
An imperfect world, my dear, but not a disagreeable one.
Heard you were as far afield as Knightsbridge this morning.
Your spies were abroad early.
Only Polly. Saw you in Harrods.
Did she indeed? I didn't see her.
She says you were busy.
I suppose I might have been. A little talk with the delightful Alex.
Alex Holmes? This morning?
You sound surprised.
Just that Polly didn't mention Alex.
She didn't. Well, there you are. Something for very little, if not nothing.
May one ask why?
Alex? Nothing very much. She knows our certain people, and one always likes to keep in touch with certain people.
I see. Anyone in particular?
There is always someone in particular.
I rather had the impression you might have been with one of the cousins.
Young Polly is observant, isn't she?
You know Alex has left Chambers.
Really?
Yes, Friday.
Really?
Not sure what she plans to do. She's got her own money, of course.
Of course.
Did she tell you that she left?
Well, I believe something was mentioned.
Didn't know you were friends.
Yes, the fish was exceedingly fine, and the...
Chablis?
Yes, that too.
Alex say what she plans?
Not exactly. I believe she is thinking over our proposition.
I see.
Yes. Isn't that over there?
Holmes, ghastly man.
Weren't you at Eton with him?
That's how I know. Oh, hell's teeth, he's heading this way. Could have done without that. Shall we make a move?
Let us, I believe what the British Army calls a tactical withdrawal, though I fear too late.
Charles, I thought you'd be in today.
Hello, George. You know my Colville, don't you?
Mr. George.
Yes, of course. Charles, I wonder if we might have a word in private.
No, of course, I've just gone.
Sorry, George. Henry and I have a meeting. Must be off. I'll be over at number 10 early this evening. Can it wait?
Well...
Excellent. Awfully sorry about this, George. You do understand, don't you? See you then. Come on, Henry. We're late.
I fear, Charles, that was not in the least subtle.
I will not tolerate superciliousness, especially in front of my friends.
One is touched.
That's rude.
I must say that on previous occasions I thought him charming. Within, of course, the reservations one has for cabinet secretaries.
He's getting a hard time at the moment. The bombardier is showing an aggressiveness none of us has seen.
Your hero, Whatever next?
Dougal.
The kilted one.
Apparently there's some nonsense going on about Dougal appointing Kay Bennett as his private secretary. The private office doesn't like it. Expect that's what he wanted to talk about.
Yeah, one would have thought that a trivial matter for the cabinet secretary.
Exactly. I certainly don't wish to be involved. I've enough on my plate at the moment.
Difficulties?
Oh, just this non-corporation nonsense. We've had it since the finance bill.
Ah, yes. Madame la Guillotine.
It was quite necessary, you know. But they wanted more time to debate. We said no, so they refused to pair.
And they won't come back to the usual channel?
Absolutely crass. We've tried everything, but no, I think they're being clever. Henry, you know, it would be quite useful to have a lever. You know?
Do I?
Some titbit on one or two of their front bench. Something that I could mention. You know, just to get them moving.
Scandal?
Not do anything about it, of course.
No, of course not. Ah, there's one. A taxi!
Possible.
Well, there are one or two indiscretions. Small, but perfectly deformed. Yes, on those I shall ponder.
Much obliged, old man.
Not at all. St. John's Wood, driver, if you'd be so kind. Lord's Cricket Ground.
I'll get it. It's probably Nick. Tea or coffee?
Tea, please. Coffee leaves a nasty taste at the moment.
Hello.
What's brought this on?
Hello.
Your dear brother.
Henry? But Henry has perfect taste. Or so he says. See you. See you soon.
The caterers?
Oh, that's quick. Only phoned them yesterday. Make the tea, will you, darling?
Why not? There's nothing else to do.
Isn't everything supposed to be wonderful?
Is it?
So they tell me.
Well, whoever they are, they've got it wrong.
Second thoughts?
No, of course not. It's just that, well, I don't seem to have seen him much lately.
Well, you wouldn't if he's in Paris. When's he back?
Another 2 weeks.
Then go over. I would.
He claims...
What?
He claims, mind you, that he's going flat out and he hasn't a moment to himself, so there's no point.
I thought he was a French speaker.
He is. He says he needs to be fluent and he's learning masses of new vocab and all this European Parliament stuff.
Sounds reasonable. Mind you, I'm not sure many of the British MEPs have fluent French.
No.
Or is this part of his total Europe thing?
No, that'd be fine.
I was reading something in the paper about them all speaking each other's language. Real Eurocrat.
I didn't know you were an anti.
Yes.
I'm just anti-politicians. Don't trust any of them. Oh, sorry.
Now what are you sorry about? Oh, no one made the tea.
I'm sorry.
Come on, your turn.
I have the sorrows of a 9th-century penitent. For being a mother.
Well, you didn't have to be.
No, darling, I didn't. But I'll know next time. By the way, CSE say the menu list will be here tomorrow.
Well, there's no hurry.
Oh, no. You're not the only person getting married in September. It's only 3 months away.
Maybe.
What's that mean?
It means maybe it is, maybe it isn't, okay?
It really is best to get these things sorted out well in advance. I know you don't think it matters, but it does.
To you, it doesn't matter to me. Nick and I don't want a big thing made out of it. It's our wedding. It's not yours.
Fine. Off you go to Gretna Green. But before the pair of you go, will you please explain to your grandmother, to 14 aunts, 12 uncles, 36 cousins, and according to the list that you gave me, 126 friends and hangers-on, not to mention Nick's family, not to mention 16 choir boys, one bishop and a croaky rector. Explain why. Why you slammed the door, darling?
Oh, dear. Tensions of betrothal.
Don't worry. We're used to it. Combination of being engaged when she'd rather just be married. Not hearing from Nick, being hormonal and screwed up about his family.
Because his father was a bus driver or something.
Or something. Here we are.
Thanks.
Oh, your terribly cosy coffee morning with Henry. Oh, lovely gossip. Tell me, what happened?
Right you are. And you're sure this is enough?
Oh, bound to be. I mentioned it to the whips. They said it was exactly what they wanted.
Makes a change. Fine. I'll see you in the office. About 10 minutes.
Bye.
Keeping the whips happy, are we?
What? Oh, hello, Dennis. Didn't see you lurking in the bushes.
Since when does the committee corridor qualify for set-aside?
Very funny. Which reminds me, you're not still going to give us trouble on the agriculture debate?
It's you that's giving yourselves trouble. No need for it. Just promise no funny closures, none of these damn stupid guillotines. We'll be back in business.
You know exactly what happened. Your front bench thought they'd try it on, painted themselves into a corner, and now can't back down without losing face.
Then it's up to you to find a way of helping them.
It doesn't make things easier with her being ill.
That's not nice, Charlie. Really nasty. She'll make a good leader of the arse one day, which is more than they say of you.
Very funny. I'm sorry about her, well, her condition. How is she?
Could be a long job. Blast. What do you mean, blast? The poor bloody woman scared out of her wits, in flipping agony, and all you're bothered about is business.
I'm being realistic, Dennis.
That's what you call it. Well, carry on being realistic for all I care. And I tell you one thing. They're just waiting to tell you what they think of your flaming realism.
You may not have noticed, Dennis, but the television cameras don't work up here. Your passion's wasted.
On your lot it is, but not on the voters. That's why you lot'll get stuffed next time. That's why you got stuffed in the European election.
Yes, well, I must be off. Oh, by the way, who's looking after things if she doesn't come back next week?
You'll hear soon enough. But I can tell you, it'll not do you any good.
Well, be sure to tell him it's important. What? Oh, I know that. And he still hasn't called by...
I'm not sure what he can do about it.
Charles can do something about everything. That's why he's Charles.
But he's your PUS. Shouldn't it come from you?
Oh, my dear Kay, I want to get this argument out of the office. If I put the PUS in his place, then we'll have the whole lot of them scared witless. No, Charles must tell the Cabinet Secretary to squeeze his thingies.
What are his thingies?
Well, he'll soon know when Holmes squeezes them.
Maybe it would be easier if I simply left.
I will not give in.
It wouldn't be you. It would be me.
And within 5 minutes, the whole of Whitehall and Westminster would know that I've been put in my place by my own permanent secretary.
So it's nothing to do with my feelings, just your pride.
Of course.
Dougal, you are the limit.
Not yet.
Despicable.
Certainly.
I hope this lot chokes you.
Oh, that rubbish.
The briefing pack for tomorrow's committee is not rubbish. And if you continue to think it is, they'll crucify you.
It can wait.
No, it can't. They'll be out to tear you apart. Read it.
Later.
Dougal, later will be too late. I've been through it. There are more sub-clauses than...
Kay. Don't let these people get to you. I'm not exactly new to this sort of thing.
If you cock it up, I'll get the blame.
Look, take it home. I'll pop by later this evening and we'll go through it.
Certainly not. I'm not your tart.
Of course you are. And you love it.
Damn you.
Look, here. You've forgotten the file.
Good health. Cheers. Look, George, sorry about lunchtime. Had a couple of things I needed to clear with Henry, you know.
I quite understand.
He's very helpful in certain areas.
So I imagine. He's probably busy himself.
Absolutely rushed off his feet.
Especially with the South Africans over here.
Hmm?
Just a cricketing reference.
Oh, I see.
And there's the difficulty with the CIA, the one who turned out to be working for Moscow.
I believe Henry did mention something. Aren't we worried that he might have blown some of our people?
Thought he might have done. Certainly knew all about Gordievsky, and he was one of Henry's, so who knows?
Well, I imagine you do. After all, the JIC surely does.
I fear that its title is a little misleading. Joint Intelligence Committee doesn't mean that the different agencies talk to each other on every occasion.
But the Prime Minister must know.
I understand the Prime Minister had a full briefing from the President.
In other words, assuming the President knew, then it's up to the Prime Minister to answer my question.
In similar words, it's rather up to you to ask the PM. But,
I see.
Colville hasn't mentioned it?
Not that I remember.
I see.
Now we both do.
Hmm.
Shouldn't be like this, should it? Some of these matters are enormously important. There's no great need for this secrecy.
There most certainly is. The first rule of intelligence is never let the other side know a thing. Keep them guessing.
Even when they already know?
Even then, Charles. Even then. That's the only way to maintain the edge of uncertainty. I learned a long time ago that most of intelligence gathering is an attempt to confirm what you think you already know.
A bit like this place.
I'm afraid Downing Street spends too much time trying to find out what others think they know rather than what they do.
Like this silly affair about Google's private office?
Miss Bennett? Well, I imagine that'll resolve itself, don't you?
Seems a little unnecessary. The animosity, that is.
Isn't all animosity?
Whitehall thrives on it.
Whitehall does not. Certain individuals do.
Nothing to do with me, you know.
Look, I thought you might persuade Dougal to revert to the traditional way of these things. It'd be better for everyone if he were to have a trained person as private secretary.
One of your civil servants.
But they're very good. After all, you've managed to use the undoubted gifts of your own dear Rose as personal assistant in tandem with someone from the department.
I'm hardly likely to persuade Dougal to do the same.
Oh, I wish you would.
His PUS is giving him a lot of trouble. I'm told that the private office is under instructions to drop confusion into his boxes.
Impossible to believe, Charles. Absolutely impossible to believe.
No, it's not. Kay Bennett's put the private office's nose out of joint. Ergo, so is the permanent secretary's. Sabotaging the red boxes is one of the oldest tricks in Whitehall. Kay Bennett's finding her feet. Until she does, she's likely to trip up, and so is Dougal.
Wow. That's taking the conspiracy view of Whitehall too far.
I have, George, excellent eyesight. It's called experience.
Come in. Shut the door. Right. What the hell was that all about? I have never been so humiliated.
Look, Dougal, don't get at me, okay? I've been warning you for 3 days. Read the brief, I said. Oh, no, not the great Dougal Baxter.
Listen to me.
No, you listen to me for once. I read and reread the damn thing for you. I marked every damn paragraph for you. I warned you they were out to get you, and they did. You were, as they say on the North Bank, stuffed.
Kay, I know all that. What I want to know is what happened to my so-called experts.
Well, they were passing notes in the usual way, anticipating questions, usual things.
Did you see them? Impossible to read. Deliberately impossible to read. They look like they've been written by a dipsomaniac GP. I want to know why.
Pick up the phone and get the PUS in here. Ask him.
Oh.
Well, you're not frightened of him, are you?
Altogether ridiculous.
Well, you're the one who claims to have been ridiculed this morning, and I tend to agree.
But
you did what you always do when you're cornered. You attacked. It's the rodent in you. And for a moment, you had them on the run. But once you'd misread the first two notes, it was all nonsense.
Hell.
Oh, there'll be that. Especially when the Prime Minister hears that you agree there should be a review of prison privatisation.
Well, actually, I do.
But it was just the opposite of what was in the brief.
The brief was wrong. That's it. Wrong.
Of course it wasn't. It's a policy document.
Not anymore. That'll give them something to think about. Why don't we have a review? It doesn't mean we're going to change anything. We'll get a committee together. Someone from penal reform, one from the prison officers, and someone from industry. That's it. Why not?
Because you can't make policy on the hoof. You know that.
Oh, but I just did.
Just come from the hospital. She's cheerful enough.
Well, she would be. I've never met such an optimist.
Then you should have heard Flipping Baxter this morning. Optimism? One minute he's saying that there's nothing wrong with the prison programme. Next thing he's telling the committee that he thinks there should be a review of policy.
Really?
Listen, in spite of what you lot think, some of us really want to get things done. It doesn't help having a half-breathed minister to go out and shuffling the deck won't do any good.
What deck? The cabinet? That's nothing to do with it.
We've seen it all before. You get a bad result. The prime flipping minister does the business with his Ouija board. Then he rolled up. Only a matter of time.
More coffee, madame?
Please. Thank you. I know what it is.
Sir?
No, thanks.
You no longer enjoy yourself in the house, do you?
It's not a question of enjoying oneself.
Well, if it's not, why don't you do something about it?
Like what?
Oh, I don't know. Why don't you be Prime Minister, for example?
Because, for example, we have one.
But not for long. Why don't you do it?
Mary, please, let's not talk nonsense.
That's what I'm good at. At least I think I am. After all, for the past 25 years, you've made it absolutely clear that's what I do best.
Look, I thought we were having a quiet lunch.
We are. But that doesn't stop me telling you the obvious. And because it is obvious, you, for one, would have missed it.
Mary, the Prime Minister is not resigning. And if he were to, I would not...
You would not what?
Well, I would not be a candidate.
Who says?
Well, I do.
No one else.
Because there's no question of it.
And when there is?
Oh.
All right, let me answer for you. The way things are going, the obvious candidates are either yesterday's men or not quite today's. You're all in the land of the blind, Charles. And you, darling, you're the one-eyed man. And we all know what happened to him.
The House featured Julian Glover as Sir Charles Bannister, Peter Kelly as Dougal Baxter, Christopher Benjamin as Henry, Isla Blair as Mary, Sheila Reed as Rose, Jane Booker as Kay, Ruth Gemmell as Polly, Caroline Bliss as Alex, Trevor Peacock as Wigton, and Stephen Greif as Holmes. The writer was Christopher Lee and director Phil Bowker.